How are you this morning?
That's excellent.
How are the rest of you? Do you know that Jesus loves you?
Yes.
No, I'm just wondering. Do you know? That's it. That's it. But you know what? You can be James. You can be James. See, there's a song about, how's that go? That one about, I'm his favorite, or here I am, your favorite one. Oh, I want to know what you're thinking, feeling, you know. Well, you see, whenever, that's what's so cool, is whenever you spend time with him, you find out, it's like, it feels like you're his favorite. Because he just loves every single person. He can't even help himself. He just loves every single person. But see, there's people in this room that don't know that. You may know it up here. You know, you've heard the words. But do you know in here that he loves you? Do you know that Jesus loves you just like you are? Did you know that? Jesus loves me when I'm good, when I do the things I should. Jesus loves me when I'm bad, but it makes him very sad. Jesus loves us. I want you to hear something today, because the title of what we're going to talk about today is two titles. Postage stamp anointing, or what does it take to stop you? Okay? Postage stamp anointing. You know, do you stick to it? Okay? Or what does it take to stop you? You see, I can get up here so many times and tell you that I was a drug dealer when Jesus found me and saved my wretched soul and scraped me out of the gutter and washed me clean in his precious blood and decided that he was going to come live inside of me and my body would become a temple of the Holy Spirit. And he's lived inside of me since July 1st, 1976. 3 days for the bicentennial on a Thursday at 7:55 p.m. when I met Jesus. You have a birth certificate? On that, me too, but I was born again. Okay? And on your birth certificate, it has a certain day and a certain hour and a certain minute of when you were birthed, when you became alive physically. Well, see, I know when I became alive spiritually. And my life radically changed. And it's all because of Jesus. Now, understand something. Have you met people that are drug dealers that you think are have good character and virtue, and you'd like your kids to grow up and be just like them? What I'm saying to you is, so what happened in my life? What took me from there to here? Just Jesus, all by himself. He can handle me all by himself. Isn't that cool? Well, see, he can do the same for you. And he wants to do the same for you. But every one of us have choices. You see, many people believe in Jesus that don't know Jesus. By the time I was 20, you may have heard this before. By the time I was 20, six different denominations had baptized me, and nobody had told me how to know Jesus. They told me how to be a member of their little glee club and keep a list of rules. And they told me and taught me some facts out of the Bible. They never got me to read the Bible. They just wanted to tell me what it said. They never even challenged me to read it. I don't remember anybody in my life ever challenging me to read the Bible or asking me to read the Bible. I'm trying to remember. Until after I was saved, I think. Oh, Jesus, I can't even really stand it. I might have to sit down because I can hardly stand it. Jesus is just so cool. And I just, today, I don't just want you to just hear. I don't want you to just leave and be the same. Every day, it's like, I feel like I'm about to bust with Jesus every day. It's been this way for 33 years. I feel like I'm about to explode with Jesus all the time, but I have problems. I mean, if you know me, you know I have issues, you know? And then I'm married. And then I got 6 kids and 21 grandkids, and half of them live at my house. We've got problems. But I've got Jesus. You see, I can't make it without Him. So what changed me from there, this drug dealer? And see, I'm an extremist. Whatever I do, I go all the way. So when I see the first day that I smoked dope, I was in high school. Let's see, I think I was going into the ninth grade, or I was in the ninth grade. Yeah, I was in the ninth grade, and my dad told me that he was going to divorce my mom. Now, I had not even known my dad until I was in the third grade when he remarried her. And then here I am going into the ninth grade, and he says, I'm going to divorce her. I'd only known him for about 5 years, and I didn't want him to leave. And I cried, and I begged him. But he said, no, we have to get a divorce. So I left my house and went walking down the street of my neighborhood. It was a nice neighborhood. And friends of mine came by, and I got in the car, and I rode around with them, and they were all smoking dope. And I didn't want anything to do with it. They kept saying, here, take this, because I was crying and bawling and telling them what was going on, thinking they cared. Did they care?
No.
I just wanted to know if you knew them. And you met them. And they didn't care. And but as I rode around and I smelled this smoke, it calmed me down. I had never known calm before. They used to call me Harvey Chihuahua, you know, like bouncing around. Or they called me a Super Ball or the Energizer Bunny because I was always going. And so I breathed this in, it calmed me down, and I said, let me try it. And I got high, and it made me forget my problems temporarily. And then when I woke up in the morning, here's my mom and dad, and I start crying again. And so I go to school, and I said to the guys, hey, I want to do that again. And they go, well, you got to pay for it. And I said, well, how much is it? When they told me, I said, you must be high. And so that day, I bought an amount, and I became a drug dealer. See, I'm an extremist. I don't just do something. Every time my wife and I ever get into something, we think we got to make it a business, you know. And we always end up making it a business. You know, my wife can't just make pretty cakes. She's got to turn it into a business and have me buy all these things and whatever. Now she's talking yesterday. She's dropping these hints of spending $10,000 to make a legal kitchen. And I'm like, and, you know.
Pray about that one.
Yeah. And so anyway, here's some pocket change, you know. So anyway, what I'm saying is, I didn't just smoke dope. I became a drug dealer the very next day. Okay? When I met Jesus, and no one had ever asked me to read the Bible or talk to me about reading the Bible. All the time I went to church. Like I said, I was baptized by 6 different denominations by the time I was 20. And no one ever talked to me about reading the Bible. They just wanted to tell me what they knew. Do I need your knowledge, or do I need the Holy Spirit working inside of me? Do I need the life of God, or just words and your pride and all what you know? I'm asking. I need Jesus, right? So how did I get from there to here? Jesus. The night before I met Jesus, I picked up the Bible and started reading it to be able to sell it. I'm cutting the story short. I was selling Bibles door to door. I was living on Florida State University campus, Tallahassee, Florida. Met a guy through drugs. We did drugs together. He said, why don't you go with me to Tennessee to sell books door to door? The main book was the Bible. 6 different books for them related to the Bible, Family Bible, Children's Bible, Bible Dictionary, Church Totem Bible. Started reading the different books. When I came to the Bible, it said Word of Christ in red. Flipped through till it came to red print, lit up a joint, started smoking a joint, reading the Bible. Wednesday, June 30th, 1976. Can I make it up this fast? And as I started reading it, and I didn't just pick up a comic book or some book that called itself the Bible. I picked up the King James Bible. You know, the one that the devil hates and the one that God uses? The living Word of God. I picked it up and I started reading the Bible. Smoking a joint. As I'm smoking a joint reading this Bible, the presence of God came in the room. I didn't see Him, but He was so real to me that I was like, I knew He had to do with this presence in the room, had to do with this book. And I put the joint out. I just somehow knew it was God. The creation somehow knew it was the Creator. And I put the joint out and I read the Bible that night. Have you ever looked at the red print? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. You ever done that? Seen the red print in there? Well, there's 28 chapters in Matthew and 16 in Mark and 24 in Luke and 21 in John. And I read all four of them that night. Now, you try doing that. And I saw that everybody that came to Jesus, their life was different. And it didn't matter if they were religious, like Nicodemus, John 3. Master, we know that thou art come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Or if it was the rich young ruler that came running to him in Matthew 19. Or if it was a dead man on his way to be buried and Jesus stopped the procession and said, hey, dude, get up. And the dude sat up and everybody just like, check it out. Okay. Well, it went something like that, you know. Everybody that came in contact with Jesus, their life was different. And I'm sorry. Did you understand that word? Different. If you just want your life to keep being the same, just keep doing the same things you're doing. You know the definition of, what's that word? Insanity or idiocy? You know what how to explain insanity? You keep doing the same thing and you hope for a different result? That's insane. If you want something to be different, there has to be something different. And the only thing I know, and I say thing figuratively, that will change your life for the good and will keep changing your life for the good is Jesus Christ Himself. Amen. I want to introduce you to Jesus. I want you to know Jesus. I want you to just not know Him, but I want you to hang out with Him, okay? I want you to hang out with Him, find out how He loves you. Find out He loves you when you're good and when you're bad. He doesn't just accept you when you do what He wants. You see, Jesus accepts you, but it breaks His heart when you're hurting yourself, when you're disobeying Him, because His way is not an experiment. It's not like I tried Jesus, you know. He's not a drug, you know. Except for when I walk downtown and the kids say, what's up, man? I go, Jesus. You can't get higher than Him, so why do you try? And they go, blah, 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 blah. They just look at me, don't know what to do with that. Jesus. Jesus Christ Himself. He's a real person. He is God in the flesh. He's not just a prophet. He's not just a good man. He's not just a preacher. He's not just somewhere between God and man. He is God in the flesh. And He created us for fellowship. And you could believe in Jesus. There's many people that believe in Jesus and have horrible lives. You know why? Because they've never become a disciple of Jesus. What does it take to stop you? What does it take to stop you? Can I give you just a thought right in the beginning? Good, thank you. Turn over to Romans 6:14. Romans 6:14. And while you're turning there, we're going to have a word of prayer. But this prayer is for you. This prayer isn't for me, because I've already prayed this prayer and learned to make this my moment-by-moment prayer of my life. But I want you to pray this. Are you ready? Are you listening on purpose? Jesus, today, I want my heart to be open to you. I am saying no to the devil, no to his way, no to sin, Satan, the world system, my stinking thinking. And I'm saying yes to you, Jesus. I want to know you, and I want to be wide open to you, and I want to let your word come and get planted in my heart. Because just like seed, the seed of the word of God, I want to be planted in me that would bring forth holy results in my life, that it would cause me to be just like you, that I would know you more. Thank you, Jesus. Is that your prayer? Is anybody else? Is that your prayer? Yes? Praise the Lord. Is that your prayer? Because if you didn't do that, you're going to miss what I'm talking about. And if you don't believe me, turn over to Matthew 13. Don't have to do it right now. I hope you brought something to write on, because I got a lot of verses today. Okay? Matthew 13 talks about the parable of the sower. A man went forth to sow. And he talks about different hearts being compared like ground. And some people's hearts are hardened. They've been walked on. Did we work with somebody this week whose heart had been walked on a little bit hard, bitter, just a little bit? See, I just turned them over to Jesus, Dave. It's like, I just got to give them to him. So you deal with all kinds of people. Now, so everybody has a heart. And your heart and my heart needs to be open to Jesus and let him speak to us. See, you know a lot of things, but it says in, where is that verse? I think it's 1 Corinthians 8:1, it's either 8:1 or 8:2. I think it's 8:1. And it says, knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifies or builds up. And what you know can make you proud. You feel good about it. You want to tell everybody else because I just know all this knowledge. You might have even got it out of the Bible. But you're puffed up with pride, and God won't bless that flowing. That's why God's had to have me in breaking for so many years, because I'm so full of pride. But when we humble ourselves and say, Jesus, I know what I know, but I'm going to take what I know and I'm going to lay it at your feet. Because I want to know what you know. Because what I know isn't necessarily working for me too good. I mean, if we were just going to get honest, just pretending we were going to get honest, it's not working so good. Because I'm not full of peace. I'm full of pride and anger and turmoil and frustration. That's not Jesus. So right now, I want to open my heart, Jesus, and I want to let your word have free entrance, get planted inside of me, because I need you. Okay? There's many people that believe in Jesus. We're going to come to Romans 6:14 in just a second. Oh, that's the thought I was going to share with you, and that is, it says in Romans 6:14, you're looking in the Bible, right? Romans 6:14. It says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. You see, if you belong to Jesus, sin doesn't have control over you. Oh, hear this. If you don't belong to Jesus, sin has control over you. You don't even have a chance. Because you can't set yourself free. You can't quit sinning. When somebody comes to Jesus, repentance is not, I'm going to quit sinning. If that was it, you wouldn't need Jesus. You can't quit sinning. What you have to say is, I don't want sin and the result of that. I want you, Jesus, the Savior. And if you don't set me free, I don't have a chance. I need Jesus. You see, a lot of people believe in Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. Are you with me? You could believe in all the facts about Jesus, but when did you see yourself unrighteous and guilty before God on your way to hell? When? When did you realize, whoa, I'm on my way to hell. I need Jesus. See, you could believe all the things. A lot of people have been brought up in church, know about God, know all kinds of stuff about God. They try to live a moral life. They try to do good according to their own standard of what's moral that they got an influence from through church or their parents. But it's not in their heart. It's something they make them. It's a behavioral control. Do you understand? When I came to Jesus as a drug dealer, I realized as I read the Bible, I was on my way to hell. Nobody told me that. Nobody that you could see. But as I read the Bible, God began dealing in my heart. Those of you that come here to the food pantry and the coffee bar, notice how we have you read the Bible, or we read the Bible to you like every time you come, like three chapters every time you come. Do you know why? It's to get the Word of God down inside of you. The Word of God is going to work inside of you. Now, Jesus said in John 15:20, He said, Harvey, if they don't hear my words, they're not going to hear your words. So it doesn't matter. Sometimes Glenn talks to me and says, man, I'm talking to him, but it doesn't seem to be helping. I said, that's because they're not open to Jesus. That's why I said we've got to start with Jesus. I want to open my heart. Jesus, I think I already know. I think I'm doing fine or whatever, but I want to open my heart and let you search me. Remember that prayer? I told you how to pray every day. Psalm 139, 23 and 24. Do you know that?
See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in thy way everlasting.
I led the Lord in 93. Taught him a couple things. He started doing them. I tell you, this is so neat just to watch somebody's life change. It's so cool. Because it's like you just got to get them to Jesus. See, I can't be in his life all the time. There's many times I've let him down because he wanted to put his expectation in me. He wanted me to be there, wanted me to go to his kids' games and do all these things. That's not what God wanted me to do. So in his disappointment with me, he turned to Jesus. Do you think you got the better deal? Oh, good. Because I know you did. Because I would have just irritated you, you know. It would have been a mess of your life, you know. Oh, yeah. So many are believers, but they're not disciples. What does it take to stop you? Turn to Proverbs 24:10. Proverbs 24:10. Now, I was going to have them all marked, and I thought, no, I'm going to give them a fighting chance to get there by looking every one of them up. So Proverbs 24:10, are you there? Okay. It says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. What does it take to stop you? Let me give you just a few things that could stop you. Number one, money. Having it or lacking it. Money. Okay, this is the outline. Then I'm going to come back and fill it in with the Word of God. You ready? Money. What else could stop you? Control or power. You having to be in control. Do you know the spirit of control? Does that sound like Jesus? Oh, I'm sorry. What'd you say?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. The spirit of control. Does that sound like Jesus?
No.
Or how about humility? Oh, yes. So that's the opposite of control, isn't it? If we're trying to control somebody else or even control our own lives, did you know that Luke 6:46, Jesus said, why do you call me, actually it says, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? See, we call him Lord, but the word Lord means master, boss, one who calls the shots. Who's number one in your life? most of us, it's us. Most individuals, it's us that's number one in our life. We care more what we think and what we feel than what he thinks or what you think. That's how most of us are. What does it take to stop us? Control, power, we'll come to that. How about others? Have you ever noticed in your life that whenever, you know, you're failing or things aren't going right, we have a tendency to blame others. Have you ever noticed that? Anybody else? I noticed it! Okay, I just wondered. I wanted somebody to answer. Okay. I noticed it. I understand. See what I mean? That's what I mean. And then I interrupted your life with Jesus! It only took you about 3 or 4 years, took him about 10. Okay, but that's okay. That, at least. But it's okay. Because Jesus won.
Amen.
You see, God's gift to us is Jesus Christ. Do you know what our gift to him is? Us. Our life. See, many people say, I love Jesus. What does that mean? I love Jesus. I love Jesus when he makes me feel good. I love Jesus when he does what I want. I love Jesus when he meets my needs. I love Jesus. Is that real love? Yeah. I heart my chihuahua, you know. In John 14:15, you know what Jesus says? As a matter of fact, if you're taking verse notes, Bill, then you want to write down John 14. Verses 15 through 24. Okay? But in verse 15, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. You see, it's not that we're not ever going to be perfect or have arrived, but it's that we have a desire to do that. And you're going to fail every day. I do. We're going to fail every day. But I just turn back to him and say, oh God, I'm sorry. And he says, I've already covered it. I've already paid for your sin with my death. It's already covered with my blood. What sin are you talking about? You're already forgiven. It's freely bestowed. When I turn to him to ask him. Not when I walk away and just take him for granted. So what does it take to stop you? Others? And then we're going to talk about our goal in Christ. So, let's look at this. Matthew 6. Turn to Matthew 6, verse 19. Are you there? Matthew 6, 19a. I'm not going to read the whole verse because I want you to read this. Matthew 6, 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Verse 20a. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Verse 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where is your treasure? It says, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. You know, when you have more, then you got to worry about people getting it or taking it or losing it or it breaking down. When you don't have so much, you don't have to worry about that, do you? I've lived in both places. Where's your treasure? See, my treasure is Jesus. That's why anybody that hangs out with me, every now and then I call Brother Glenn and I say, hey, I'm going to make a trip like to Lansing. And I'll say, do you know anybody that'd like to ride with me? And he'll say, I'll pray about it. And then he'll call me and say, yeah, why don't you take so-and-so? And I'm like, he's confirming what God had already told me. Because I had already prayed and said, God, who do you want me to take? And he'd give me a name. Then he confirms it through Brother Glenn. And then I'll call and say, hey, Mike, you going to ride with me? And he'll go, yep. And then when we're together, I only have one conversation. I only have one topic that I like to talk about. His name is Jesus. Because I've never met anybody like Jesus. I don't have anything else that even compares to Jesus. So, and he is my life. Philippians 1:21. Well, that's it. For to me, to live is Christ. To die is gain. To live is Christ. To live is Christ. Do you get it? It's so simple. What does it take to stop us? Where is our treasure? Look in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 7. Isaiah, it's like Genesis, Exodus, get up to Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. Isaiah 28 and verse 7. You ready? But they also, I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but we're going to read 7 through, I think it's 13. Because I have, yeah. You ready? But they also have erred through wine, and through strong drink are out of the way. Do you know what John 14:6 says? Jesus said, I am the way. You hear the verse? They are out of the way. How did they get there? Through wine and strong drink. Just so you know, did you know there's 162 verses in the Bible against drinking? Did you know that? Only 162. Just thought I'd give you an idea there. Okay. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. But I know priests that drink. What does the Word of God say? I don't care if they say they represent God. What does the Word of God say? They have erred through strong drink, the priest and the prophet. And they are swallowed up of wine. They are gone out of the way through strong drink. They left Jesus. They have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof or the life thereof. See, they wear a little name tag. I'm a Christian. But you can't find Christ in them with a magnifying glass. See? Except for they just wear a little robe and they go around with their collar turned backwards and they say, look, I'm a man of God. Does that make them a man of God? I told you the story one time. My wife and I were at a religious hospital on the other side of the state. We were visiting somebody and she saw all these people walking around in religious clothing. And she said, you witnessed to everybody. I bet you'd witness to one of these people walking around in these religious garb. And I said, yeah. I said, which one do you want me to witness to? And so she pointed this lady out and I walked over and she was kind of standing there. Was people were standing around her and I said, sister, could I ask you a question? She said, yes. So I didn't want to ask her in front of people because I didn't want to embarrass her. So I said, could we talk over here? She probably thought I needed to get, you know, I was embarrassed or something. She didn't know me yet. And so we stepped over here and I said, my wife was standing right there beside me and I said, what do you got to do to go to heaven? And she said, you got to keep the Ten Commandments. And I just looked at her, Shayla, and I said, have you? Why did she immediately turn red and stomp her feet and walk away? She wanted to put it on me, but she hasn't done it. You see, we can't keep the Ten Commandments. Only Jesus can. Only Jesus did. What do you got to do to go to heaven? You need Jesus. Because you can't do it without him. Is that clear? Is anybody getting this? Am I ringing a bell? Okay, dinglings. Okay. Isaiah 28:7. They are gone out of the way through strong drink. They err. They do wrong in vision. They stumble in judgment. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. Whom shall God teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine or teaching? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he, God, speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, talking about Jesus, yet they would not hear. They made a choice. Everybody has choices to make. That's what I was saying earlier about the prayer. Everybody has choices to make. What are you going to do with what you're hearing? But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Why? That they might go their own way and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. I was reading this thinking about you when I looked it up, Glenn, because you know how I've always said, if you could just get this! And you're like, Harvey, you say the same thing over and over and over again. When you get it, we'll move on. Okay? Because what I want to do is help you with your life so that you're not stumbling, so that you're not falling, or so that when you fall, it's less and you stay down less time. Because the devil hates your guts. He doesn't care about you at all. And he's very sneaky. And he comes alluring you, telling you he'll give you what you want. You think you're going to get what you want. And he's just taking you down a road. And you are not going to like where you end up. Remember your life? You haven't like where you've ended up. That's because that's what the devil does. How do we go from a drug dealer to a church planter? How do we do that? It's got to be Jesus, and it's got to be starting with one precept, one thought that I had that was a lie, and exchanging it for a truth. I hear the truth, I weigh it out, and I say, you know, I'm going to follow Jesus, so that means I got to break agreement with this stinking thinking. Are you with me? I want to help you to have a foundation. I'm looking around. See that building over there, Automasters? Okay, you're looking out the window, right? And you see the cement blocks and the stones? Do you see how they're precept upon precept and line upon line? You see how they're building? And they're solid. But they're one upon another, upon another, upon another. And that's what we have to have is truth. But we've all been deceived with lies. We've all have stinking thinking. We've all been taught things. Just because our mom and dad said it was that way doesn't make it that way. Do you understand? Just because we were taught by a church something doesn't mean that's the truth. That's why we need to get into this and let this get inside of us. That's what's going to change. Letting this have root inside of us. Letting God get inside of us. And we break agreement with our pride and what we think we know. And we humble ourselves and let the truth in. What's going to stop you? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. New Testament. Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. Chapter 5, verse 17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Matthew 4:4. Matthew, first book of New Testament. Matthew 4:4. You there? But he answered and said, Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That verse and another verse that goes with it, which is Job 23:12, that's what changed my life in 1977. I met Jesus in 76, took 10 months and 3 days for me to get in church. After I met Jesus, I got saved in Tennessee, went back to Florida where I'm from, went out to Arizona with a friend. He had a girlfriend, and she had a girlfriend who now happens to be my wife. She was from Michigan, and her mom, when she met me, tried to rescue her and bring her back to Michigan. And then a month later, I came to Michigan, and a month after that, we got married. April 30th, 1977. About June, God called me to preach. And right in there somewhere, God showed me a verse, Job 23:12, where he said this, Neither have I gone back from the commandment of God's lips, but I have esteemed. Do you know what the word esteem means? It means to make important. You ready? But I have made important thy words, the word of God, more than my necessary food. It is more important to read this than to eat. Do you like to eat? Rounds of shape. Okay. The Bible says the liberal soul should be made fat. I'm just a liberal soul. I'm a free soul. Okay. You ready? Now. It does. I didn't make it up. Okay. You ready? It is more important to read the Word of God every day than it is to feed your face. You are a spiritual being that temporarily lives in a body. I'm breaking this gently to you, but you can't see anybody in this room. You can only see the little body they're living in for a short period of time. Every one of us, what you see is carnality, and that's temporary. Are you with me? You are an eternal being. You're an eternal spirit. You are made in the image of God. You are a living soul. You are not the body you live in. Quit worrying about what it looks like. Okay? When your hair starts sliding off, let it slide. Don't spend all your waking hours trying to exercise and get this thing all looking pretty. What? That's just vanity. Most unhappy people I meet, some of the most unhappy people I meet are good-looking people. Because they're always, their value is in their looks. If that's all your value is, let me take you out on a road and I'll drop you off the back of my truck. I'll tie a rope onto you and I'll drag you down the road for about a mile. We'll fix that. It will fix that. And then we can find out who you really are. Quit worrying about the looks. I'm trying to help you. Some of the most miserable people are good looking. That's why I'm so happy. Serious. Where is our treasure? What are we focused on? You see, you feed your flesh. You just want your flesh to be strong. That's what you keep fighting with all the time, your flesh. That's what keeps you away from God. That's what makes you miserable, trying to please this flesh. Help me. You hearing what I'm saying? I have a sermon I preach called Black Dog, White Dog. All of our life, our flesh is like this big black dog. Feed me! Feed me! Come on! Give me more! Take care of me! Look at me! Meet me! Okay, enough about me. What do you think about me? Okay, you know, it's like, feed me! This flesh just wants to be fed, wants to be coddled, wants to be, just give me whatever I want. I want, I need. And no matter how much your flesh gets, it's never enough. Have you noticed that? The more you give the kids, the more brats they become. Sorry. I'm sorry, did I slip out of English? Did anybody get that? I was just remarking to my wife how we have Janai and Dudley and their six little darling, wonderful, blessing children living in our house. And here's Jackson. He picks up this little piece of plastic that comes off a push-up, an ice cream push-up, the thing you push up, you know? And he's walking around, Papa, look at this. I go, yeah? And he goes, look at this. And I go, uh-huh. And I said, what is it? And he goes, it's off the push-up thing, he said, but it's like an umbrella. Look at this, you know. And I'm shielding myself. I mean, the thing's like this big, you know. And it's just his imagination. At Christmas, we had Christmas about a half a dozen times with the little kids. Do you know what they like? Did they like the gifts or did they like the paper in the boxes and the plastic? Guess what? It is so cool watching them just enjoy the simplest little things. But I know other people, no matter how much they get, it's never enough because this is what they're living for. Not him. They're living for this. They're trying to please this. If we want to get stronger, you got to starve the black dog and start feeding the little white dog. You meet Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, little white dog, comes and lives inside of you. And now he's like, yep. He's just real gentle. He doesn't jump in your face. He doesn't demand. But he reminds you. But he's real kind about it. He's the only guy I know that can get away with nagging. Okay? Because all the rest of us, it irritates us. But when he says that, we know it's true. Because he's the Spirit of Truth. And when you start feeding the little white dog and he starts getting bigger, and you put that black dog on a diet called no food, okay? He's going to kick because he ain't going to like it because he's used to you just giving him his way. But when you start getting stronger in here, you're going to feel better about yourself. You see, do you know why a lot of you have a hard time like worshiping when we go to worship? Some people don't know Jesus yet. But most of you are just afraid of everybody else and what they think. Okay? But when you know the truth will set you free. You see, you're not free when you're sitting there like this and you're worried about, oh man, I'd like to tell Jesus I love him, but maybe I'll do it later when there's no one around, you know, so I don't get embarrassed. What does it matter? I don't care what you think. I care what he thinks. I'm free. Don't you want to be free? Being free isn't just, you know, Mel Gibson, freedom, you know, and let's go kill, you know, Ayatollah Khomeini or whatever those names are. That's not just freedom. We live in a bound society that's going to get worse by the day. Jesus will set you free. And when you know the truth, is that in the Bible? I think it is. John chapter 8, verse 32 and 36. Jesus said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Verse 36, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You see, Jesus is, his name means freedom. He's true freedom. We need to feed the Spirit, not the flesh. The flesh will bind you. Binds me. Matthew 4:4. Remember we just read, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the life of God. Acts 17:11. Are you there? Acts 17:11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. See, when I'm preaching or my wife, because I haven't got to preach in quite a while, my wife normally does. And when someone's preaching, you need to take it right down. I don't care about all their nice little outlines and all their little sayings. I don't give a flip about that. I care what God has to say. So you need to take and write down those verses. And you go and study them yourself. Otherwise, you're going to continue to be a weak little, keep that little white puppy as just a little white puppy because you're going to keep living in the flesh and being carnal. But in order to get strong, you have to pick up the Word of God. You have to ask God, God, I want to know what the truth is. You need to start reading it. You need to start comparing verses to verses. Are you with me?
Yes.
You'll find that over in Hebrews chapter 5, around verse 10 through about chapter 6, verse 3, I believe. Okay? It talks about those that are on milk and those that eat meat. Milk is for the babies and meat is for those as they grow up. Do you get it? So, are we going to be babies in God? But I've been with God for 20 years. I've been with God for 30 years. And some of you are still in diapers. But that's not what we do here. We're here to grow you up. We're here to make you strong. Because this is a training center for warriors. This isn't little mamby-pamby, let's play church, and we all felt good because we went and threw something in the bucket. And, oh, I feel good now. I did my time. I put in my hour, or Harvey spoke, it was 2 hours. Okay. 3 hours, whatever. I don't care. What I'm saying is, it's making you strong. That's what I care about, is helping you to get strong. I don't want you to just stand when I'm around. Hear what Brother Harvey has to say. Who cares what I have to say? What does God have to say? So we need to read the Word. We need to study the Word. We need to get that inside of us. 2 Timothy 2:15. I'm not going to quote it to you right now, but you look it up. 2 Timothy 2:15. How about Psalm 92:13? Have any of you ever heard or memorized that verse? Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. You ever heard that? Can you show me anything green that's living, that is producing, that's not planted? Where you're living, are you producing? You see, you can't do it if you don't do it God's way. God's way is to be planted. Not when it's convenient. You go, where do you want me to be planted, Lord? Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. It's also in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. I'm not going to spend all the time there. It's also in Psalm 84. I'm just giving you some verses. It's also in Luke 4:16. I love that because there's a little phrase about Jesus. It says, as his custom was, he went in the synagogue and stood up for to read. As his custom was. What's your custom? When my kids were growing up, somebody spent the night with us one time, somebody from the Christian school, and they said to my kids, it was on Saturday night. They said, are we going to church tomorrow? And my kid said, oh, yeah. It's not even an option around here. If the doors were open, we're there. It doesn't matter what day it is, but we're always there. And they said, well, why do you ask? They said, and these are kids in the Christian school. Well, because we go like when it's convenient, when we don't have other things, and when we don't have family, you know, coming in from out of town. We go when it's convenient or when our parents feel like it or when they get up. I'm like, oh no, that's not being planted. Do you follow what I'm saying? Anybody?
Yes.
Okay. I'm glad the four of you are listening because it'll help. Turn over to Acts chapter 13, verse 5 through 12. So daily we need God's word and be in his house. Can I give you one little saying that does help you maybe? Anything that separates us from the things of God is not of God. Anything that separates us, when people get married, say, what God has joined together, so then divorce. Does that sound like it's of God? It's not his desire. He allows it because of the hardness of men's heart, the Bible says. He allows it because he doesn't want somebody getting beat up just because the guy's a knucklehead and won't listen. Okay? He allows it. But anything that is of God, anything that separates us from the things of God is not God. Anything that separates us from the things of God. What's of God? Can you give me love? Anything that separates us from love. What else? Humility. What else is of God? Peace, forgiveness, joy, and suffering. What else? I know you're just going to quit. You're just going to quote Galatians 5, 22 and 23, aren't you? Yeah. How about the Bible? Is it the Word of God? What separates us from that? Television? Oh. Okay. Anyway, just idea. Yeah. I call it television. You know, they film it in Hollywood and they pipe it to us by sewer pipe and then they dump it in our living room through the television. And then we wonder why we have stinking thinking, you know? That's right. It's good food for the black dog. That's right. I'm glad we don't have any darker brothers here. But anyway, today. Okay, Acts 13. Are you there? Oh, I let y'all get there before me. Acts 13, 5 through 12. You ready? It says, and when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, or what we call the governor or one of the leaders. And his name was Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, Elymas withstood them. See, this man who was in leadership wanted to hear the word of God. But this guy who had been trying to deceive him and control him, he withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. He didn't want him to hear the word. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil. Oh, it's not politically correct. It's not socially acceptable. We shouldn't say those. We should just be loving. If you love green grass, you got to hate weeds. And you need to let people know it's a weed. You understand? We need to make it clear. You still speak it in love, but you speak the truth in love, the Bible says. He says, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease or stop to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Amazing. Control and power try to stop us. Okay? Turn over to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. Verse 10. Are you there? And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And how did they overcome him? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. I've asked this question, or my wife's asked this question before. Is there people in here that know that you're going to be martyred for the cause of Christ? Do you know that? I know that. Several hands went up. That's what this is talking about. They overcame him by the word of the Lord and their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. We're going to put you to death unless you deny Jesus. When I had a chief of police, when we started our first church down in Texas back in 1987, he had given us permission, because I went to him to ask, is there any laws against me setting up? We're starting a church here. I just moved here, moved 1,800 miles to start a church here, and because God told me to come here. And is there any laws I need to know about? We're going to start a church. We're going to start it in our home. We're going to set up building. Oh, no, there's no problem. As a matter of fact, would you like me to take you around, the chief of police said, and I'll show you empty lots and stuff where you could build. And I'm like, no, we're going to do it a little different, but I really appreciate that. But is there any laws? Oh, no, there's no laws. It's 40 miles from Mexico, called Raymondville, 110 miles south of Corpus Christi. So we set up a big tent in our front yard, and we put out signs and went around handing out flyers saying we were starting a church. And my wife and I and Janiyah were knocking doors and three times a week and telling people about Jesus and telling them we were starting a church. As soon as I put up the tent, the bigwigs of the town didn't like it. I don't know if it was the mayor or who it was, but somebody didn't like it. So they put pressure on the chief of police. And the chief of police came to my house, actually sent two of his cronies to my house, I'm sorry, police officers, to my house, and said to my wife, y'all have to take this tent down. Because it filled our front yard, you know, it was big enough to seat a bunch of people. She said, they wanted to talk to me, but I was out witnessing to people. Go figure. And my wife said, I'll tell him when he gets back. So when she told me as soon as I came back. So I went down to the city hall, and I said, I understand that y'all have a problem. I said, there's a law. I already asked about that, but if there's a law, would you show it to me? The guy shows me this book. Have you ever gone to city hall and asked them to see ordinances or something? They have books, like big old thick books like this. And I said, so what's the law? And the guy said, well, it's in that book. And I said, where? It's in that book. And I said, well, sir, I'm not going to take it down because you tell me it's in that book. I'm asking you to show it to me. Well, it's written down. I said, well, God even wrote it down in the Bible. Show it to me. You know, I mean, if you want me to do something, show it to me. Well, I don't know where it is. I said, well, I'm not taking it down because somebody comes to my house and tells me. I already talked to the chief of police. So the chief of police, the word gets back to him. So he calls me. This is a true story, by the way. And chief of police calls me and says, you better take that tent down or I'm going to put you in jail. And you know what I said to him? I said, sir, first I explained, you know, I came to you when I first got to this town, asked you if there were any laws, blah, blah, blah. You told me no problem, blah, blah, blah. And now you tell me there's a problem and you tell me it's in a book, but you can't show me where. I said, I'm not taking it down. Well, I'm going to put you in jail. And I just looked at him, Dave. Same thing I've already meditated on. If they tell me they're going to kill me because they want me to denounce Jesus, because I've had guys pull guns on my face. You know, I've led two professional hitmen to Jesus and both of them wanted to kill me. Okay, so I've been a little bit under duress and attack, persecution. And I told this chief police, I said, you do what you got to do and I'll do what I got to do. So I called a preacher friend of mine and said, do me a favor and pray for me. He said, why? I said, because I understand I'm going to jail at 9 in the morning. He said, what? So I tell him the story. The next morning at 7 in the morning, there was 12 preachers sitting in my living room waiting for him to show up. And when they showed up, he said, you didn't take this tent down. He showed up with a couple of big bodyguards, whatever. And I said, no, sir. He said, I'll give you till 3. I said, sir, I'm not taking it down until God tells me. I didn't put it up because you said I could. I just made sure I was staying within the law. I said, I put it up because God told me. I'll take it down when he says. I don't care what time limit you put on me. I'm not trying to be hard or mean. Would you come in and we could have a cup of coffee? We could talk about it. You've got till 3. I said, I'm not taking it down. You see, you need to premeditate in your heart. Look at this passage. The accuser of our brethren. The devil is into accusation. I'm going to end with this. The devil's into accusation. The devil accuses God to you. He tries to make God look bad. If God loved people, why would he let them go to hell? God wouldn't, I have people tell me that all the time, God wouldn't send anybody to hell. No, he didn't. He lets people go there because they choose it. He said, here's the rules. I made the world. I get to choose the rules. He just thinks he's God. He gets to do what he wants. All I know is I find when I give his way, my life goes smoother. It just works that way. And he says, here's the rules. Now the payment for sin is death. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to step out of heaven as God. I'm going to step down here. I'm going to live a perfect life, never sin. And then I'm going to say, now, treat me as if I'm Harvey. Treat me as if I'm a drug dealer. Treat me as if I'm a thief. Give me what Harvey deserves. And he became my substitute. See, it's not just believing facts about Jesus. It's realizing you're the one that deserves to die. And the devil wants to try to accuse God to you all the time. And then he wants to accuse you to God. Is that in the Bible? Oh, I'm so glad you asked. If you were to look in the book of Genesis, where he questions the character of God, you would look in Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, chapter 3, 1 through 8. You there? Okay. I mean, you can look it up later. And you can also find in Matthew 4, 3, where the devil, when Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, the first question he said, if thou be the Son of God. Is Jesus the Son of God? But the devil wanted Jesus to try to accuse Jesus to himself. If thou be the Son of God. He wanted to attack the character of God. So the devil tries to accuse us to God. He tries to accuse God to us. And he tries to accuse us to one another. Have you ever found yourself being mad at somebody else? saying bad things about them? Is there anybody in here who's never done that? Besides Jonathan? Okay. You see, he's the accuser. I'm going to end by saying this. You get to choose in your head, if you leave here today, I'm sorry, when you leave here today, you get to choose what you're going to believe. If you continue to believe lies in areas, it will bind you. It will torment you. It will hurt you. It will take you where you don't want to go. It'll cost you what you don't want to pay, and it'll keep you there a whole lot longer than you want to stay. Lies will do that. Let's look at John 8:44, and we'll end with that, okay? John 8:44, talking about the devil, the snake breath. I hate the devil. John 8:44, ye are of your father, the devil. If you go back and you look at this passage, he's talking to religious leaders. And Jesus says, you are of your father, the devil. By the way, do you know why you're tired right now? It's not just because you stayed up last night. Because the word muse means to think. The word amuse means to not think. You can go home today and turn on the television and be amused. You can go home, play your video games and be amused. Let somebody else do your thinking for you. But when you're sitting here and someone is putting forth something that's making you think, our body wants to get tired. Our body wants to, because we're not used to it. It tires us out because we're not used to thinking. I'm sorry. If I tell you the truth again, I'll let you know, okay? We're not used to thinking. We want someone else to do our thinking for us. John 8:44. He's talking to religious leaders. Hey, Bill, push that over. I think it's Tim. Push that over so he can see it too. It says, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust, which means a strong desire, strong evil desire, and the lust of your father ye will do. He, the devil, was a murderer from the beginning. Is that who you want to hang out with? Is that who you want to listen to? He was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode. That word abode means to live, remain, dwell. He abode not in the truth. He didn't remain in the truth. Because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. If you go back and you read Genesis chapter 2 and chapter 3, first book of the Bible, you'll see where the very first attack was to question the Word of God, the character of God. Why don't you eat this fruit? And she said, because God said, don't eat it. Did God really say that? That's what he said. Did God really say that? Did he mean that? No. He meant this. Why was she having a conversation with a snake breath anyway? Why, hear me, please, don't miss this. Why do we entertain lies in our head? Why do we think about evil things? Why do we even think about, you know, like you watch that movie, something of the lambs or something. Yeah. And they want to get in the head of this serial killer, this really wicked man. Why would you want to think like that? Why does he do that? Because he's wholly given to evil. He's turned from the truth. He's believing a lie. He's making himself out to be God. He gets to choose life and death, who lives and who dies. You don't got to figure it out. It's not hard. You want to understand what he's thinking? Dumb. It's going to take you there. You're having to get those thoughts inside of you. Be careful, please, what you take inside. I love to watch movies. I love to watch old movies, but I have about 6,000 or 7,000 of them, and they're black and white that I've recorded off TCM and AMC and Encore Westerns. I would rather watch a black and white than a color movie anytime. And the reason is because so much of the color movies, the civilization, our civilization, has digressed or gone down so much that they think it's okay to sin. It's okay to be rebellious to authority. It's okay to not have anything to do with God or mock God. When you watch most movies, they don't have anything to do with God unless they're mocking Him. Modern movies, right? So why do we take that in? Because we want to be amused. I'm entertained. 4,000 people got killed. Look at all the blood. Look at, he sleeps with everybody. That must be okay. I won't watch and care about what my kids do. I'll just let them go date too. Is anybody thinking? I care about your life. You do whatever you want. One day I was praying. God bless you. You need a squeegee? Okay. One day I was praying for some people just like you. And God said to me, Harvey, you have to let them make their own choices. I said, but God, they're making the wrong choices. And He said, I know. And He said this, I, God, even limit myself by giving them a free will. You have to let them make their own choices. I care about you. I love you more than you love yourself because I wouldn't do to you what you do to yourself. We need to start believing truth and taking it and meditating on it. Drug dealer. My life's all a mess. I get saved. I meet Jesus. The preacher said, open your Bible every week. I kept thinking, that's what I haven't done since I was here last time. I'm going to open my Bible. And then he showed me that verse where he said, it's more important to read the word than to eat your food. And I said, wow, I bet if I told him to remind me every time I started to eat to read his word first. And if I made that decision, I was going to do it. I was a man of my word. I mean, just if. Then I bet my life would change. So I told him that. God, before I put any food in my mouth, I'm going to put your word in my heart. But God, I'm just flesh and blood. And if you don't remind me, I'll forget. So the next morning, go to eat my breakfast, you know, prayed my little prayer. Look out, food, here it comes! And the food's coming toward my face. And his voice says, Harvey! Yes, Lord. He said, weren't you going to do something before you ate? But it's hot. But what did you say, Harv? Are you a man of your word or not? Okay. So I started reading the word. And then I started memorizing the word. I don't know thousands of Bible verses by accident. I know them because I took them and I wrote them down and I meditated on them and I thought over them. And I got them inside of me because I kept saying them over and over, line upon line, line upon line, line upon line, line upon line, over and over. If you could just get this, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, precept upon precept. Can you get it yet? Precept upon precept. Here's the truth. Here's the truth. Here's the same truth. Here's the same truth. Here's the same truth. Do you got it yet? Because I'll just keep saying it one more time, two more times, three more times. Because guess what? You're worth it. And you might get mad at me. I don't care. Because I'm doing what He wants. Because He knows the truth will set you free. And even if you get mad at me, I'm going to keep telling you the same truth. Because I care about your life. I care about your life. You know that. I know you do. I care about your life. I want you to be successful. I want you to be full of joy. I want you to be victorious. I don't like the devil winning in your life. And he has kicked your little tail too long. You get to choose. What are you going to do with thoughts? You can think on lies. You can think on negative. Or you can believe the truth. How do I know what's truth? Pick up the Word of God. Start reading it. Get it inside. Lord, I need you to open this up to me. I don't even get all these words yet. Just open it up to me. Put the cookies down on the bottom shelf so I can get a hold of it, Lord. He loves you. If you never do anything I'm saying, you can't quit Jesus from, you can't stop him from loving you. But your life, and what happens in your life is based on your decisions and what you do with truth. Do you hear what I'm saying?